The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, friends. This is Larry Wilson for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Money Matters. Today's episode of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from Money.com and also articles from Kiplinger.com. Our first article from Money.com, What to Know About Data Breaches, ID Theft, and Your Credit. As we spend more time online, the chances of our personal information being exposed due to data breach increases drastically, and with it, the risk of identity theft and potential credit problems. A data breach can expose your sensitive data, like your credit card or Social Security number. This can lead to fraudsters making unauthorized purchases, opening up credit accounts in your name, and more, all of which can damage your credit history. Let's take a look at how data breaches occur, the consequences of identity theft, and the steps you can take to protect your credit. Well, let's start with what is a data breach. A data breach, or data leak, is a cybersecurity incident where hackers or other unauthorized individuals get access to people's personal or financial information. Information that can be compromised in a data breach include Social Security numbers, birth dates, passport numbers, account passwords, home email addresses, credit card numbers, and medical records. How do data breaches happen? Data breaches usually happen when cyber criminals infiltrate a company's computer systems and networks. Hackers may deploy malware like viruses and trojans to gain remote access to databases and steal or manipulate data. They may also take advantage of security vulnerabilities in software or websites, such as outdated software or flaws in the programming code. Cyber criminals commonly use phishing attacks as well, where they pretend to be a trustworthy entity and deceive you into sharing sensitive information. Phishing often comes in the form of fraudulent emails or websites designed to look legitimate, tricking users into sharing their credentials or downloading malicious software. However, it's also possible for data leaks to happen due to an insider threat. These incidents happen when an employee steals or mishandles data. Additionally, security incidents can happen if devices like laptops or smartphones are lost or stolen and are accessed by an unauthorized third party. How data breaches can lead to identity theft. If your information is exposed because of a data leak, you may become a victim of identity theft. This can have long-term financial consequences and a negative impact on your credit. What is identity theft? Identity theft is the act of unlawfully obtaining and using someone else's personal information, such as their Social Security number, without their permission. This is typically done to commit fraud or other crimes, often for financial gain. And what do hackers do with your information? Hackers and other identity thieves may use your information to open credit card accounts, make unauthorized purchases, apply for loans, request government aid, and more. Additionally, hackers may use your data to do phishing campaigns, which involves crafting convincing emails or messages that seem legitimate, to trick recipients into sharing their passwords, verification keys, and other confidential information. This tactic allows hackers to access more of your accounts and steal even more data. They may also sell sensitive data like credit card numbers or login credentials on the dark web to other fraudsters. Potential impact of identity theft on your credit. Identity theft can severely impact your credit history. If a fraudster uses your personal information to apply for credit cards, take out loans, or make unauthorized purchases, if these fraudulent activities go undetected for several months, your credit score will likely drop due to missed payments and high levels of debt incurred by the thief. Once your credit score drops, you might get denied when applying for loans or credit cards. And if you do qualify for these financial products, you'll pay higher interest rates and have lower credit limits. You may also find it difficult to rent an apartment, as most landlords now run credit checks. What to do after a data breach? After a data breach, you should take immediate action to safeguard your online accounts and credit history. These are the steps you should follow. Check your monthly statements for fraudulent transactions and notify your bank or credit card company if you find any. Regularly check your credit report for accounts that you didn't open yourself. If you find any evidence of identity theft on your monthly bills or credit report, report it to the Federal Trade Commission or the FTC. And you can do that at identitytheft.gov. File a police report with your local police department. Set up a credit freeze to block access to your credit report to prevent fraudsters from opening accounts in your name. Instead of a credit freeze, you could request a fraud alert. This lets creditors know that they should take extra steps to verify your identity before approving a credit application. If you find any fraudulent accounts on your credit report, dispute them by contacting the main credit bureaus of Experian, Equifax, and TransUnion. Change the passwords of all of your affected accounts and ensure they are strong and unique. Avoid easily guessable words or phrases and consider using a password manager. Enable multi-factor authentication, or MFA, wherever possible, to add an extra layer of security. Another step you may consider is also signing up for a credit monitoring service to help keep track of any further fraudulent activity. Our next article appeared in Kiplinger.com. How to save financial documents and information in case of a storm. If a hurricane, flood, or other disaster strikes, do you have your important financial documents safeguarded in case you need to leave your home in a hurry? Here's what you'll need. Hurricane season is starting up again, a painful lesson on the importance of mitigating risk of natural disasters. Homeowners should heed this reminder to prepare, whether by buying adequate insurance for natural disasters, adding storm shutters, building a safe room in the basement, or even cutting brush around their property. But there is another way you can prepare yourself against a catastrophe, and no physical labor is required. That is, getting your documents in order. There's no worse time to lose access to the documents necessary to rebuild than in the aftermath of a storm. You should have a plan in place before disaster hits, because you may not be home when the evacuation alarm sounds. We ask insurance experts what homeowners who have faced such devastation wish they had done earlier. What do people need to have on hand to document their damage claims successfully? When is an electronic copy of a document acceptable? And when is the original a must? What should you photograph or video to prove you owned it? Do you need receipts? And where do you store all this safely? Where to keep records safe? Documents fall into two main categories. those that are easy to replace, and those that aren't. The latter group typically includes documents used to identify you and other members of your family, such as Social Security cards, original birth certificates, driver's license, passports, marriage license, and divorce decrees. Securing those is crucial because you may need some of them to access your bank accounts and insurance policies. In the event of a storm warning or evacuation notice, you will more than likely have to grab time. You will have time to grab your wallet, which probably has your driver's license in it. The rest of the documents should be securely stored, such as in a fireproof home safe or in a safe deposit box at your bank or credit union. A 3x5-inch safe deposit box costs around $60 a year, according to Value Penguin. Some banks provide discounts for customers with checking and savings accounts, or for customers who are older than 65. Call to make sure your bank or credit union has safe deposit boxes available, because some have decided to eliminate them altogether. Keep the key to the safe deposit box somewhere safe and accessible. Before allowing you to open the box, the bank will want proof that you're the owner or that you've been granted access by the owner. This is when your driver's license will come in handy. Banks don't keep spare keys on hands for safe deposit boxes, so if you lose your keys, a locksmith will more than likely be called in to drill into the box at your expense. But your bank and your safe deposit box could also be damaged by flood or wildfire. If your area is prone to floods, store your documents in sealable plastic bags to help protect them from water damage. If you're worried about fire, ask the bank how boxes are protected. Safe deposit boxes are usually fire-resistant, but not fully fireproof. One alternative is to buy a fireproof home safe to store your documents. For extra protection, scan and upload copies of each family member's Social Security card and birth certificates to a cloud storage service, such as Google Drive, Apple iCloud, Dropbox, or LastPass. If the originals get damaged, you may be able to use the scanned items to prove your identity and request new copies. For details on how to replace a Social Security card, go to the Social Security website. If you lose a birth certificate, you will need to contact your state of birth's vital records office and put in a request for a replacement. The CDC maintains a database of offices to contact and how much a replacement will cost. You will also need to submit a photocopy of your driver's license or passport. What records should you scan? Because digitally stored documents are less likely to be lost or destroyed than paper copies stuffed in a file cabinet, consider cloud storage for all other important documents. Past income tax returns, wills, powers of attorney, stock trade confirmations, and list of passwords, for example. Some documents are already digitally stored for you. For example, if your company uses a major payroll provider such as ADP, W-2 forms and pay stubs are already saved and accessible with your password. The same goes for your home insurance and automobile policies, which you may be able to access through your insurer's smartphone app. In some cases, you may need to keep older documents in paper form in your safe deposit box or home safe. For example, if you've scanned the original trade confirmation of an inherited stock, but the image is blurry, you should stash the original in a safe deposit box or somewhere else where it's secure. You can buy a scanner for your home to prepare, and scanners have been getting smaller over the years, making them easier to have at home or take with you to scan documents for a loved one. A Brother compact scanner costs under $150. You can also use your phone as a scanner. The app Genius Scan, for example, allows you to use your phone camera to take images of files with the same quality as a more traditional scanner. For any files that you save to the cloud, use a strong password and enable two-factor authentication. You also need a plan to access your financial documents in the event your phone and computer are destroyed. If you store documents on Google Drive, you can share them with trusted friends or family who also use Google Drive and set up a friend or family member's email for your account recovery. If you forget the password to your Google account, which includes your Google Drive, your recovery contact can reset your password. If you're an Apple user, your main recourse is to back up files consistently to the cloud so you can access them with your Apple ID and password later. You may want to share your Apple ID with a trusted friend or family member. If your iPhone or Mac computer is damaged, you'll need your ID to restore backup files to your new device. Keep in mind that Apple doesn't allow you to grant emergency access to iCloud to others. Some password management programs have an emergency access setting. LastPass Premium, which costs $3 a month, allows you to add emergency contacts to your account and specify when the contacts are allowed into the vault that houses your passwords. You can grant access to your vault either immediately after a request or after a 24 or 48-hour period. The longer wait time allows you to deny a request if you think it has been made by mistake or isn't needed. LastPass Premium also lets you attach copies of documents, such as your passport and Social Security card. Another option, ask your financial advisor if he or she has software that will encrypt your documents. Many advisors, including myself, provide their clients access to software that offers a secure place to upload and store important documents, said Matthew Crum, a CFP and founder of True North Financial Services in Kinnelon, New Jersey. You can also leave copies of your will and power of attorney with your attorney and any health care proxies and other directives with your doctor. And make a video record of your belongings. To thoroughly document your belongings, walk through your entire residence recording video to create a record, suggested Gregory Hill, training manager at Colonial Claims, an insurance adjuster in Florida. Be sure to describe each item, including the quantity and product serial number. Hill suggested making sure the video is organized and follows a pattern. So, a person would be best to start with an identifier of the home, such as a street address or mailbox numbers, panning across the front of the home and working their way around, either left or right, showing each elevation of the home and any specialties located on that elevation. If there is any equipment, they should identify that equipment and show model and serial information so that like, kind, and quality of equipment can be replaced if lost or damaged. Any modern cell phone camera and recorder will produce professional results. When continuing the video to the interior of the home, they should keep consistent with their progression from room to room and identify items inside cabinetry of or items of value. Keep a copy of the video footage that's accessible from anywhere, saved to the cloud, like those critical documents. The inventory will help you determine whether you have enough coverage for your home's contents and document for tax purposes losses that insurance doesn't reimburse. Regularly update your inventory, especially after making major purchases or receiving expensive gifts. And our next article is from Money.com. Dollar Scholar asks, should I switch banks in pursuit of higher APYs? I work from home, but I don't work alone. Whenever I walk into the kitchen to refill my coffee, I find my roommate's cat lying on the floor, blissfully napping in the sun rays streaming in from the window. Truman's got us humans wrapped around his finger. During the winter, we bring his bed into the kitchen and position it in the light so he can be extra warm. This, of course, means one of us has to get up and drag the bed with him in it, a couple inches every 30 minutes as the sun moves in the sky. What a life. I was reminded of Truman's sun siestas when I read recently about how folks are moving their deposits from bank to bank to try to maximize their annual percentage yield, or APY. Though the Fed hasn't made any definite moves yet, the sky-high APYs that have become the norm for high-yield savings accounts have started to fall, giving new urgency to the so-called rate-chasing trend. Should I try rate chasing? Cicely Jones, a certified financial planner at Equitable Advisor, tells me that moving any cash once can be smart, especially if I'm going from a standard savings account to a high-yield account. For context, the average savings rate is 0.45%, even with its newly reduced APY. Ally is offering 4.2%. Beyond that, however, chasing rates is tricky. Moving initially to a place with a higher interest rate than your bank has is great, Jones says. But it's a different story, she adds, if you're choosing like monthly or quarterly or what you have. Who's going to be the best based on maybe a 0.1% differential? Jones says she worries about how easy it is to mistime my moves and miss out on a potential interest rate payment from my previous bank or my new one. Another risk is accidentally leaving some money behind in the shuffle. These sorts of logistical hurdles can be financially draining at worst and annoying at best. Me personally, I'm not chasing any additional 0.1%, 0.2% just for simplicity, says Kyle Mack, a CFP at Zhang Financial. It would be a hassle to keep track of everything, he says. Zhang's Rob McDougall points out that how much of a pain this is depends on how much money we're talking about. If someone is moving $500,000 from bank to bank to capitalize on slightly different APYs, it can mean a significant payday and therefore might be worth the time it takes to set up everything. But if the amount in question is closer to $10,000, the increase in yield isn't going to be drastic enough to justify the legwork. In fact, if I have so much cash in my savings that rate chasing would line my pockets, a high-yield savings account is probably not the best place for it. Jones recommends keeping 3 to 6 months of expenses stashed in a high-yield savings account for my emergency fund. But unless I'm planning to buy a house or a car or whatever in the near future, she says, I should probably invest the rest. She suggests I take an online risk tolerance questionnaire to figure out a good combination of stocks and bonds, then invest systematically. For his part, McDougall says something diversified, like Vanguard's Total Stock Market ETF or iShares Core S&P Total U.S. Stock Market ETF might be good for young adults dipping their toes into investing. Taking a long-term view is definitely the way to go, according to U.S. Bank's Siko Kalun, head of a branch in small business banking. He tells me that my decision to switch banks could ideally be tied to something beyond the shiny object or high APY, because that can change on a whim. Plus, deepening my relationship with a bank I already have can be fruitful. Cullen says that they may be more likely to help me when I need it down the road because I'm meaningful, loyal client as opposed to a rando who just bopped in to take advantage of a high APY. And the bottom line, rate chasing is largely a waste of time. The yields aren't going to be worth the elbow grease, and if they are, I should probably consider investing instead. My best advice is to find a bank you trust with a good APY and stick with that, Jones says. Check once a year to make sure it's still competitive and maybe make a switch then if it's not. And as we wrap up our program today, we will read some interesting money-saving opportunities on great ways to save for summer fun. This article appeared in AARP. Become a movie club member. Movie chain loyalty programs can provide value. The lowest tier of the AMC Stubbs Loyalty Program is free and includes waived online ticket fees for some purchases. The free tier of Cinemark's Rewards Program gives you an extra discount on Tuesdays and lets you earn points redeemable for movie tickets. At Regal, the free membership earns you discounts on candy on Mondays, popcorn on Tuesdays, and redeemable credits. And enjoy free outdoor concerts. There are likely more going on than you realize with free summer concerts. Sign up for the mailing list from your town and surrounding ones, Recreation Department, to learn about free community events, says Kimberly Palmer, a personal finance specialist with NerdWallet. You might also find out about outdoor movies, food festivals, and other events slated for the summer months. And buy at the box office. Online ticket platforms make their money through fees, so sometimes you can cut them out by purchasing your concert or other event tickets directly. Verify this by phone or online first. Then, if the venue is local, go to the box office to make the purchase. While you're there, ask if there's a senior discount, which also might cut the cost even further. And we're out of time again for today's episode of Money Matters. Thank you for joining us. And until next time, this is Larry Wilson. Today's episode of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving our community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Money Matters is also available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please give us a call, 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. Thank you again for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.